This morning on Wake Up with Hope, Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional thought. We will have a dedicated prayer session and a special health feature on how food affects our brain. Be sure to join us. Good morning, friends, and thank you for waking up with hope. You know, I'm excited to be with you here today. You know, I have a question. Are you left-handed or know someone who is? Did you know that presidents Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama were all left-handed? Well, why are we talking about left-handers? Well, today is World Left-Handers Day. Did you know that only about 12% of people in the world are left-handed? So today is a day to celebrate our left-handed friends who often feel left out, no pun intended, or misunderstood as they live in a right-handed person's world. Well, today, let's celebrate the left-handed person in your life. And if you're the left-hander, celebrate the uniqueness in which God made you. No matter what, remember that God loves you, whether you're left-handed or right-handed. He loves each one of us just the same. Well, today we have much in store for you. We're going to have the Let's Pray team joining us to lead us in a season of prayer as we talk to the God who loves us all. We can't wait. But first, let's take a look back at what happened on this very day in history. On this day in history, in 1902, Felix Winkel, a German engineer born in Lahr, Germany, Winkel would go on to be the inventor of a rotary engine that would be used in race cars. At age 17, Winkel conceived the idea for a new internal combustion engine. In 1924, he set up a lab to develop his rotating engine, capable of intake, compression, combustion, and exhaust. He applied his rotary valve knowledge during World War II with the German Aeronautical Research Establishment, and later with NSU Motorrecken AG from 1951. Winkel's first rotary pistol engine design was completed in 1954 and tested in 1957. You know, has God given you any new ideas lately? Has He placed a certain burden on your heart? If so, take heart and embrace in knowing that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, He has promised that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know, when God plants a vision within us, He also equips us with the skills and perseverance needed to bring it to fruition. Like Winkel's journey, which included years of research and development, our paths may also require patience and dedication. But remember, God is with us every step of the way. And today, seek God in prayer and think more on the ideas He has placed in your heart. Don't be afraid to move forward, trusting in His plans for your life. He is ready to do something great through you and in you. Follow His lead. You know, have you ever wondered if what you eat has a direct impact on your health, of your brain, and its function? Well, we're going to take a close look at how food affects our brain on today's episode of The Incredible Journey.
Eating is one of the necessities and great pleasures in life. In fact, the average person spends a staggering over 32,000 hours on eating in their lifetime. That's nearly 4 years of non-stop eating. So to help us understand how the food we eat affects our brains, we're going to ask a nutritional neuroscientist, Dr. Delia McKay. Welcome, Delia. Great to have you with us today. So eating and the brain, what's the relationship?
Well, the food that we eat becomes compounds that the brain uses for energy and to make neurotransmitters and impact the structure of the actual neuron. But first, the food has to go into our gut or our stomach. You know, the gut is made up of the stomach, the intestines, large intestine called the colon, and our bowels. But we collectively call it the gut. The challenge is that if the gut is not really working well, then we don't get those nutrients and what we need into our bloodstream across that very delicate gut lining. And what determines the health of our gut is the bacteria that we have in our gut. Stress affects how the gut responds to the food that we eat, and even how much we sleep affects the gut. So it's really important to make sure that the food that we're eating is firstly of a very good quality, like these superfoods, but that they also get digested really well. Because you see, we aren't what we eat. That's a myth. We are what we absorb.
Delia, you've mentioned the importance of food. So what are the best foods for the brain?
Well, Gary, let's take the food around us as an example. You know, we have flax seeds here, we have hemp seeds, we have chia seeds. These are seeds that contain critically important, in fact, we call them essential nutrients, because our body cannot make them, we have to get them from our diet. And the brain uses up vast quantities of these special fats to be able to function optimally. You know, then we've got grains, legumes, great fiber, great protein, pumpkin seeds full of zinc, important for the brain. Here we've got berries, full of antioxidants. Look how colorful they are. The brain is continuously making energy, and that energy unfortunately results in free radicals. But antioxidants come along and tell free radicals not to cause any harm. They donate electrons. We have nuts here, fantastic. Also protein, good fats. Behind me, you know, there's fantastic pumpkin. We've got broccoli, we've got sweet potatoes, we've got ordinary potatoes, carrots, all colorful foods, many of them, most of them, and they provide a stable, consistent supply of carbohydrates to keep our blood glucose stable. Then we've got vitamins and minerals that come in our citrus. Do you know that the brain and the adrenal glands use up 15 times more vitamin C than any other tissue in the body? So we need loads of those, especially in our stressed world. We've got tomatoes full of lycopene. You know, these are all the foods that nature provides. They're superfoods, and they provide fiber. They've got loads of nutrients. They provide what the brain needs, being the greediest organ that we own and running 24/7 using chemicals and electricity to give us our life. So these kinds of foods provide all those raw materials, and they keep our gut healthy. And as we discussed, we need a healthy gut to be able to get the best nutrients into our brain.
Delia, you've mentioned the importance of superfoods, natural plant-based foods. What foods are harmful for the brain?
You know, exactly the opposite of these foods. So that's highly processed, refined foods, full of refined sugar, full of damaged fats, full of preservatives, full of additives, full of compounds that the brain doesn't know what to do with and are actually toxic to the body and the brain. The challenge is that most people have become accustomed to those kinds of foods, and they don't understand the harm that is being caused to the body and the brain. The challenge is that the brain is the most sensitive organ that we own, and it unfortunately gets damaged by all of these compounds. Not just the lack of energy and the lack of vitamins and minerals, the lack of nutrients, the lack of good fats. It gets damaged by many of the compounds that are in those foods, that are in those foods to preserve them and make them taste better, that make them look colorful. So those foods are actually toxic, and they are being produced. We call them factory foods, and we should avoid them at all costs if you want a healthy brain and a healthy body.
Let's be practical. What are some of these foods? What are we talking about? Fast foods, soft drinks. Give us some examples.
Crisps. You know, foods that are in packets that crinkle and that are brightly colored. Any kind of food like that is not actually a food. It's only palatable, but it doesn't contain anything good. The other challenge is, of course, the foods that are marketed as healthy. So, you know, supposedly healthy protein bars. There's generally nothing healthy about them. And then, of course, we have soft drinks that are aimed at people who want to lose weight with artificial sweeteners that actually make you put on more weight over time. So these are insidious marketing myths that are perpetuated in our society by people who do not understand that those foods are toxic on every single level. You know, we become addicted to them. Our taste buds change, and they undermine every single cellular function that we need. So to avoid them is what you need to do if you care about your body and if you care about your really sophisticated, really precious, really amazing brain.
So instead of supporting the big multinationals who produce these highly processed and refined foods, support yourself and eat the natural plant-based foods that are available to us.
And if we can support our local farmers, even better, because they're growing this food, and you know, then we eat it in season and we eat it as it's been picked, so it's full of exactly what we need for a healthy body and brain.
Delia, you've shared some vitally important information with us today. Thank you so very much. This is life-changing information.
Well, we hope you're geared up for some prayer, because right after this short break, we're going to be welcoming the Let's Pray team. And if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more exciting content. And search for us on YouTube, Wake Up with Hope, to check up our YouTube channel and see what else we have going on. We'll be right back with more. Welcome back. We're being blessed today on Wake Up with Hope, and we long for you to experience Jesus during our program. That is why we hope this next segment will warm your heart. The Let's Pray team is with us here today to lead us in a special prayer session. We are happy to have them with us this morning.
Hi, everybody. It is time to pray again together, and I'm so grateful that we get to do this together. Family, there are thousands of us that are joining in together, and I know that when two or more are gathered, there He is also. And you might need some prayer today for endurance running that race, or maybe just to endure, period. Do you know it says in Hebrews 10:36, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you'll receive what He has promised. And you know, that tells me two things, that there is something to receive and that there is a promise that we can hold on to. So we're going to persevere together. Family, some of that perseverance is as simple as taking it to the Lord, persevering enough to bring it to Him and lay it at His feet. And then our job is done sometimes. Sometimes He wants us to persevere and keep pressing into His presence. Whatever it is, I know that He's going to guide us. So let's go ahead and pray. And I pray that you will sense His Spirit today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Jesus, that we have a chance to be together as the body of Christ. I know that you do not take it lightly, Father, when we turn our hearts to you, when we join unified in prayer in the name of Jesus. Each one of us is different, having different circumstances and different lives, but every one of us, Father, needs to be strengthened by you. Father, we can't even breathe without you. And we surrender ourselves to you again today. Father, sometimes we're so tired, we just don't feel like we can make it. Sometimes our circumstances overwhelm to the point that we're not sure how. We can't see clearly. We can't find our own way out of something. And I'm grateful we don't have to. I pray, Jesus, for those of us who have been trying to do it on their own, that we would remember what a friend we have in Jesus. The power of taking everything to Him in prayer, Jesus. It's so simple. Why does it seem so difficult sometimes? When we have done, persevere, Lord, so that when we have done your will, we will receive what you have promised. Father, help us to walk this out in your excellence. And Father, sometimes just in blind obedience. Because, Lord, we don't know what else to do but follow you. Jesus, we need to remember, help us to remember that sometimes it really is as simple as just carrying it to you in prayer. We take other people's needs, and your word says to bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ, but that doesn't mean to bear them onto ourselves. That's to bear them almost like a taxi cab, Father, to you. And to lay them into your capable hands so that that burden can be lifted off of them, us, and placed in the one place that is meant to carry them, Heavenly Father. Jesus, thank you for teaching us how to not become so weighed down by this world, Father, that we feel like we cannot endure. We were never meant to carry the world's burdens, Father. We are meant to carry them to you. And so, Heavenly Father, in every way where the enemy, this world, and even our flesh, Father, is attempting to fight against you, fight against your restoration, your rejuvenation, your fullness of life, Heavenly Father, I pray that we would lay down these things that seek to ensnare us, Jesus, even when they're good, even if there's something that we truly care about, Heavenly Father, but there is a weight in it that indicates to us we've been trying to carry this on our own. We've been carrying it in our person instead of carrying it to you, Jesus. And I pray that you would lift that burden, that our buoyancy would be restored in the name of Jesus, Lord, so that we can continue to be effective and to love each other well and to pour out your mercy and your compassion, Father, and the gift of bearing the burdens of others to you, Heavenly Father, so that they can experience your comfort as well. Lord, help us not to get weighed down in it so that we can continue to lift others to you, to be impactful and effective in our prayers and in our lives, showing your compassion and your love and your endurance to the world around us, Heavenly Father, because that's what we're here for. To glorify your name and to bring Christ to this world. And we can't do that, Jesus, when we can't even see straight. Heavenly Father, help us to continue to walk this out, empowered by you and enduring the daily things of our lives in excellence and with a lighter sense of ease, because your yoke is easy and your burden is light. In the name of Jesus, we agree and we thank you for that. Amen and amen. Family, I pray that you feel just a little bit lighter today, even if your circumstances haven't changed. Know that he sees you and that he is bearing your burdens in the name of Jesus. We'll see you soon.
Thank you so much. That was a blessing. You know, prayer is essential to our walk with the Lord. Coming up next, Jesus 101 will be with us to share an inspiring devotional message. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We are happy you stayed with us. It's now time for a devotional thought. Jesus 101 will be sharing with us this morning.
Hello, everyone. We continue with our series, After God's Heart, on the life of David and the fact that he was enrolled in the School of Brokenness to become a man after God's own heart. Today, we're talking about exhausted, when we are exhausted. And what do we do then? I remember one time I was preaching in a church and I had a book of prayers that I had purchased, and there were different prayers for different circumstances. And one of them was the prayer of a single mother. And I asked if there were volunteers, any single parent that wanted to read this prayer out loud for the whole church. And this woman came up who was a single mom, and she started reading the prayer, and the prayer was, Lord, I am so tired, and I can't understand people that say to me, oh, hang in there, you know. They have two parents working with the children. I am by myself, and I can't do this anymore. And the prayer went on, and all of a sudden she stops and starts crying, sobbing, crying out loud in the middle of the church because she could understand perfectly what the prayer was about. She was so exhausted with what she was going through. And I felt this intimate connection at that moment from her to God and all of us, actually, because we understand there are times in life that all of us get exhausted. And today, even David and his men will be exhausted in the story we are going to study. So let's go to chapter 27 of 1 Samuel. Things are going bad for David. It says on verse 1 of chapter 27, David said to himself, I will perish one day by the hand of Saul, because Saul is persecuting him, coming after him. And he says, there's nothing better for me than to escape into the land of the Philistines. And you know, he goes to live with the Philistines. And what is unbelievable for me, verse 2, David arose and crossed over, he and his 600 men, you know, he had a little band now with him, who were with him, to Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. He goes to Gath, the very place where Goliath had come from, the core of his enemies. And now he's living among them. They give him if you keep continue reading over six, a town for him and his men and their families. The town is Ziklag. And that's where he's going to live for the next year and 4 months, 16 months. And you know that during that time, we have no Psalms from David. He's so exhausted that it seems like he doesn't have anything to bring. But then chapter 30 comes along. You know, David's life is in a downward spiral. You know, I like spirals. I think most of us do. They're pretty, except when they are somebody's life and the life takes a downward spiral. And this is what happened in David's life. Not only is he in the enemy camp after he has been persecuted, but now something bad, from bad to worse, right, is going to happen. And it's the fact that one day they come back with his band and Ziklag has been burned. I'm going to read it for you. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. It happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. And it continues to say they had taken all the women and children with them. And look at this verse. Verse 4. David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep anymore. Maybe your life has been like this, and you have had tears here and there, but now you are like at the bottom, and you are crying with no more strength like them. But if you thought this couldn't get worse, let me tell you, it does, because the men are so embittered about their families not being there. Verse 6, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. I mean, his own people are so bitter about the family, losing their families, that they speak of stoning him. It says here, because they were embittered because of his sons and daughters. And it says here, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I love that but. You know, there's some buts in the Bible where it says, this is happening, but. You know, those desperate prayers where all you have left is one word because you're so exhausted and you're like, please, please, or help, or why? Well, those are the exhausted prayers. David is so exhausted that he only finds strength in the Lord. And he says that he asked the priest to ask God if they should pursue these people. And they do, and they pursue. And look at this, verse 9. David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those left behind remained. And it says here, verse 10, David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 were too exhausted to cross the brook Besor, and they remained behind. How exhausted do you have to be to stop your search for your own family? Well, 200 of the 600 men were so exhausted that they couldn't go up those 300 to 400 feet of the steep side of Brook Besor, and they were left behind. Well, David had a great victory, and when he came back with his spoils, some people didn't want to share the spoils with the ones that had been exhausted. And it says here, verse 21, when David came to the 200 men who were too exhausted to follow David, who had also been left at the brook Besor, it says, verse 22, some of the wicked and worthless men among those who went with David said no, they did not go, so they don't get any spoils. Here comes David with tons of spoils. It says that they had an incredible spoil, and some of them didn't want to share with those that were left behind that had been too exhausted. And this is where you can see that David has learned something during this down spiral, this difficult time. He says, I'm reading on chapter 30, verse 23. David said, you must not do so, my brothers, with what the Lord has given us. He says, the victory is from the Lord. We don't own this. So we're going to give to everybody equally. And he says, the Lord has given us, who has kept us and delivered us into our hands, the band that came against us. And then he says, from this day forward, it will be that he who stays behind and he who goes to the battle will get the same spoils. I love this because this is a principle of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for the exhausted. Jesus said in Luke 4, verses 18 and 19, that he came to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to captives and recovery of sight to the blind and to set free those who are oppressed. This sounds like exhausted people to me, because the gospel is for the exhausted. We have someone who did the victory for us. We don't deserve the victory, but he has given us the spoils of eternal life. And I want to read something to you from page 58 of our book. None of us deserve salvation, no matter what we have or have not done. Jesus died for us, and in doing so, won the victory for all who choose him. And he shares the results of his victory with all of us who are too handicapped and exhausted to be able to run the perfect race that would qualify us for eternal life. He did it. And now he invites us to come to him. Come to me, he says, all who are tired and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So if you are too exhausted today, come to Jesus. He invites you.
Thank you. That was such a blessing. And friends, thank you for spending time with us this morning. And if you'd like to learn more about our program or share us with a friend or even watch some part of today's program again, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup. And now, don't forget to wake up with us tomorrow morning. We're going to have music, an inspiring message from John Bradshaw, a special Masterstroke episode, and we'll be making chocolate mousse pie. Now, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and we'd like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides. Again, that's hope.study for your very own free Bible study guides. And check out the website. We are sure you're going to be blessed. Now, before we go, we have a Bible promise we want to share with you to encourage you throughout the day. It's found in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." You know, friends, the gospel brings salvation. It is the gospel that frees us, that cleanses us from all sin. It is also the gospel that reminds us of God's incredible and unchanging love for each one of us. You know, the gospel is nothing to be ashamed of. On the contrary, let's shout it out. Let's shout it from the rooftops, and let's tell the world of God's love. You know, we have enjoyed our time with you this morning, and we hope that you will be reminded of God's love throughout your entire day. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, wow, today has been just full of blessings. Thank you for the rich content that we received. Thank you, Lord, for the inspiration. And above all, thank you for the hope. And we pray that as we go throughout this day, that nothing will take away the hope that has been planted in our hearts. May the seeds go deep within and produce much fruit. So we thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.